League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, everybody, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We're excited about tonight's show and hearing from you, the soccer supporter. 713-780-3776, the number to call in throughout the show. 713-780-3776. I want to hear from you. We're streaming at ESPN 97.5. Also, want to remind you, we have a sister show in Austin, Soccer Matters in Austin on Horn FM every Thursday at 8 Central. That will be this Thursday. Premier League, FIFA Awards, Houston Dynamo, and NWSL on ESPN2. National broadcast from BBVA Stadium tomorrow night. Houston Dash taking on the Washington Spirit. The Dash are eliminated from the playoffs. It is a must-win type game for the Washington Spirit. What you do need to know is there's a ton of World Cup players going to be involved in this game tomorrow night for Washington. Mallory Pugh is one of them, who scored in the first game, I believe, against Thailand. 713-780-3776 is the number. The Dash will look to go out in the high note. They have battled lately gamely against North Carolina Courage and Portland on the road in 1-0 losses. So we'll talk a little bit about that with Allie Wagner, the former U.S. International Fox analyst. She's on the show tonight. Albert Elise. I am going to talk very seriously with Albert Elise tonight about why this team continues to swoon, why his performance drops, how much of this was on the manager, Wilmer Cabrera, how much of this is on the depth of the team. This is not going to be an interview that's, you know, kind of, hey, what's your favorite color? This is going to be getting down to kind of what happened and getting the opinion of Albert Elise, because that is what you, the listener, wants. Andrew Carlson, behind the glass, is always here tonight. Victor Ariza, the third member of our team. And as always, a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Rachel Daly will also join us on this show tonight. And we will have Ian Veery. Of the Liverpool supporters group will weigh in this segment on the Liverpool-Chelsea game, because I thought that was a very good one. And by the way, do not panic about Christian Pulisic not playing. I think we have to understand this was going to be incredible competition for him. This is a different step. And you also have to remember that it was Maurizio Sarri that really had a big influence on Christian Pulisic coming to Chelsea. So now he has a different manager there after this $73 million move. Here's what Frank Lampard said about Christian Pulisic not playing in the last couple of games. He said, he wasn't a victim of injuries. I have a squad to pick from. Before that, he had played a few games, Lampard said. Willian has come back and been sharp and looked good. I decided to go with Mason Mount. I'm going to say that again. I decided to go with Mason Mount. Look, Mason Mount helped him with Derby County, okay, and a lot of success there. So he's going to get the benefit of the doubt probably in the early stages here, unless Christian Pulisic can really separate himself. So he said, I decided to go with Mason Mount, and Mason Mount's a good player, by the way. I decided to go with Mason Mount because we needed to stay strong in midfield and play Mason high up the pitch. Yeah, that's not the best of defenses for why you played him, because Christian Pulisic can play high up the pitch. Fact is, he probably thinks Mason Mount's a better player right now. That's why he's playing him. Then he goes, that is my choice to make. He will get ample opportunities when talking about Pulisic. He's a young player as well as well. Everyone is talking about Mason, Tammy. He's talking about Tammy Abraham and Fiacco. He is actually as young, if not younger, than some of them. So now it got in a little bit into coach speak. But here's the things that, you know, we have to take into consideration. Callum Hudson-Odoi and Ruben Loftus-Cheek are all going to be coming back. More competition. And there's other guys that haven't played as much either. Batshuayi, Pedro, Ross Barkley. So welcome to the competition of the Premier League. I think Christian Pulisic, is competitive as he is, he's going to be fine. And who knows, maybe he plays tomorrow in the League's Cup. So that's my take on Christian Pulisic. Do you have one? 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, for being our presenting sponsors. Also, Advantage BMW Midtown, my good friends down there. We thank them for all the great support. Kings Court, Hugh O'Connor's, Cube 57, and the Houston Dynamo. So we thank all of you for your great support. And quite frankly, you're the ones that have brought soccer to the radio. Say hello to Justin and Philip down at Advantage. And, of course, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So Liverpool-Chelsea game, very enjoyable. Props to Chelsea. Or are they just losers, as Jose Mourinho said? Blues had a goal call back by VAR. Aspilicueta, after a flick on from Abraham. Mount had some moments in this game. 30th minute, Firmino had the clear header. Ball was moved. The angle of the ball was moved off a set piece. Chelsea didn't attack the ball. The beautiful thing about Liverpool is, look, you know, when you play teams, you know, and this is not a Premier League example of it, but for the Houston Dynamo, for instance, the biggest threat behind a defense is Albert Elise, and everybody knows it. In the case of Liverpool, they have three players who can do that up front. Mane, Salah, Firmino, they're all capable of getting behind a defense. That's scary. Most teams only have one, maybe two. The system is so defined, the roles, the 11 play is one. And the other good thing about Liverpool is they know how to win games when they don't play their best. Spectacular team. Best in the world at the moment for me. By the way, though, Batshuayi had a free header between Matip and Van Dijk, who you don't often see them give that kind of space. I mean, that was as free header as could be. And there was that amazing moment with Robertson breaking out in stoppage time, went on like a 40, 50-yard run. Pretty incredible. We're going to talk some FIFA awards, but right now I'm going to go to the phone lines around. Ian Veery joins me from the Liverpool Houston FC supporters group that they camp out over at Hugh O'Connor's. So, Ian, thank you very much, number one, for coming on the show. And just let's get a little bit of a take on the Liverpool-Chelsea game from you.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for having me on again.
Always
really
a pleasure.
Interesting game for me, and I think you covered some of the main points in your intro there. Definitely Chelsea came to play. I think interesting for Chelsea, the games they've played this year, both the games they've played against Liverpool have probably been their best games, I think. And Liverpool, well, I think towards the end, were hanging on a little bit. And it wasn't for a world-class save from Adrian, we could have been in real trouble.
Yeah, no question about it. Did they look a little unsettled to you? I was pretty stunned at how free that header was for Batshuayi.
I think they had a bit of a Napoli hangover, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think towards the end of the second half, I think they were looking very leggy, because in the first half, they were pretty much in control of the game. You know, a couple of goals up. I mean, we could have definitely done, I think, with a third one, but that never came. And then Conte, I mean, when you back up and you don't challenge a ball, some of the runners coming into the box, you know, he's going to do something, and he did. I mean, just out of Adrian's reach as well.
That was a pretty fantastic goal, though, and that's not one you normally see from Conte, which, you know, you kind of did a double take, but that was a fantastic goal. Very exciting moment. And look, were you surprised that Chelsea put up the fight that they did, or not?
No, I don't know. I think, you know, Lampard's gotten playing. I think, to be honest, though, Abraham was pretty invisible for most of the game. I think Matip did a really good job, him and Van Dijk are marshalling him for a lot of the game. Mount didn't look as spectacular as he has. I think, you know, defensively, for most of the game, Liverpool pretty well had them marshalled. I think Chelsea will do well this year when they get a little bit more settled.
Do you think they can, the Chelsea, do you think they can fight for fourth place?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, well, it's really interesting, isn't it, this year? Because you've got Liverpool and Manchester City, probably the top two, although Liverpool, we're 5 points ahead but 6 goals behind already, so that's an interesting statistic. But, you know, very early days. I think anywhere from 3 to 6, even 7, could be wide open this year.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, because Spurs are struggling, Chelsea, Arsenal, you know, Manchester United. And, I mean, you've got West Ham, who duffed up Manchester United a little bit at the weekend, looking pretty good. I mean, they could be in their fight. Leicester, of course, currently sitting third. You know, so I think it could be a little bit different this year. And I think it's probably going to be, we'll see, it's early days, probably the most competitive Premier League season for a while, with some of the, you know, I don't want to say so-called smaller teams, but actually having really good seasons. I mean, Bournemouth have started really well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's wide open. That's what I love about it, the competitiveness. And the games, just anybody can beat anybody, as Norwich proved last weekend.
Good to be a Cherries fan right now, too. Or a Norwich fan, or a Canary, right? It's good.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think Liverpool, like you said, are the class of the league right now. I think, you know, well, it's going to be interesting because they're unbeaten run. They could, I think, tie the record when they play Manchester United. So that's going to be a really interesting game.
Yeah, that's 15, or, right? 15 in a row?
Yes.
That's remarkable.
That will be, I think that's the 15th game, because we've got Sheffield United. Oh, my memory's missed for the next game, and then Manchester United are the next three.
By the way, Sheffield United making some good strides in the Premier League, looking solid.
Hey, when you come in with a different system that is not, they're not, the most of the teams aren't used to, you get results, and they've done that. I mean, they have. I mean, we talk about like Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold with the overlapping fullbacks for Liverpool, whipping balls in. They've got overlapping centre backs, which is just, you know, it's an interesting take on it. But they seem to. I've seen a couple of their games. They seem to really defend well and take their opportunities when they have them. You know, they're not going to score a ton of goals, but they seem to be able to nip one here and there.
Well, Ian, great stuff on the Premier League, great stuff on Liverpool. Thank you very much for joining the show tonight. We'll be in touch soon. That's Ian Veery of the Liverpool-Houston Supporters Group. Great job.
Graham, great to speak to you as always.
All right, that's Ian Veery. We appreciate him. I really like his take on the game. We're going to get him in studio for a roundtable again. Let's keep the phone calls coming, 713-780-3776. Let's go to Christian, and I think Christian wants to talk about the FIFA Football Awards 2019. Christian.
Good evening, Glenn.
Oh my God! Why do I deserve such a wonderful greeting?
Well, it's because, I mean, to be honest, you are the dean of Houston soccer. You've been commentating. I mean, since I was like two, dude. You've been commentating since the days of Home Sports Entertainment.
Wow, that's Christian. You just. Crack me across the knees with that one. So that means I'm going to probably be put in the Smithsonian. Is that in the which archaeological section would that be?
Well, I mean, to be honest,
Cro-Magnon man.
I mean, probably so. But to me, you would probably be in the same list as names like Bill Worrell or Bill Brown. You know, in the Houston Sports Hall of Fame.
Well, those guys, those are two of the greats right there. What do you got on your mind, Christian?
Okay, I don't really have anything to say about the FIFA World Football Awards because I didn't really pay attention. But I do have two things to talk about. First of all, when it comes to Megan Rapinoe, of course, probably the greatest women's soccer player of this current generation, she wants to go play.
Better than Alex Morgan?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a two-way tie. I mean, every single member of that U.S. women's team that just won their third straight World Cup is great. Yeah. But obviously, Morgan and Rapinoe were the top two. But as far as Rapinoe goes, she got to play in Barcelona for FC Barcelona in the, I think, the Women's EuroLeague or something. I don't quite remember. But do you think that it's more of a power move because of the fact that, you know, she wants to try and get better competition away from the NWSL? Or do you think that it's more of, you know, I want people to love women's soccer more, so that's why I'm taking my talents to Europe?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think Rain FC, who's trying to battle for the fourth playoff spot in the NWSL, wishes she was playing more for them. She came back from the World Cup, really has not, I don't think she's played at all for them. And they're trying to make the playoffs. I think she's been on the talk show circuit and that kind of thing. So that kind of is a little disappointing to me that she hasn't played for Rain FC, unless I'm missing something. I would have thought she would come back and join her teammates, but, you know, she's obviously grabbing her moment in the sun. I just wish some of the players would pay more attention to the league. The majority of the U.S. women's players have come back and gotten into their teams. I can't speak for her, but, sometimes players want a different opportunity, different culture. She's played in the NWSL quite some time. Might be just in a different opportunity. And listen, there are these big clubs around the world now that are investing in the women's game, whether it's in Liga MX, whether it's in Europe. It's happening. Christian, I got to take a break. I'm on a hard break. I thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate hearing from you.
Hey, no problem. And I'll talk to you on social media for my second question at Glenn Davis SOC.
You got it. Done deal. And I will answer, Christian. Thank you very much for the phone call tonight here. So for you Dynamo fans, so captains of national teams have a vote for the FIFA football awards. Frankly, I'm award showed out, whether it's television. I mean, I feel like these things are every other week. But here's who Honduras captain Minor Figueroa voted for. He voted number one, Cristiano Ronaldo. He voted number two, Mbappe, Kylian Mbappe, and number three, Virgil van Dijk. This is pretty interesting stuff. I'm going to get U.S. captain Aaron Long picked Virgil van Dijk. Well, that would make sense because Long's a center back. Kylian Mbappe and Sadio Mane. And then Greg Berhalter, the U.S. coach. I'm just trying to find this here. Greg Berhalter, I think he went with, here we go. Greg Berhalter went with, he went number one, Virgil van Dijk, number two, Harry Kane, number three, Frankie de Jong. So here you go. We're going to take a break. We got more to come here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We break Stone's Heartbreaker.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, pass for De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva completes a hat-trick, and that is number seven for Manchester City.
Pavon, side of the six, working on Fanny, trying to get it onto his right foot, and he does, back to the top of the box. Dos Santos played it off of Antuna, Ibrahimovic scores!
I'm the MVP of the MVPs, so I don't focus on that. I focus to perform and to make my team win, because now we're in a good position. We just have to continue. This is what we want. We want to be in the playoffs, and then we take the race from there. So whoever wins, whatever individual, is not important for me.
So that was Bernardo Silva, Watford, getting absolutely slammed. 8-0 by Manchester United. I think they scored four goals in the first 26 minutes. It was an annihilation. I don't, how do you come back from that? I'm not sure you ever can, but I think they will. Let's hope Watford does. And then, of course, you heard Zlatan Ibrahimovic. LA Galaxy now moving forward in things. They will be the last game the Dynamo play. That's the final home game of the year here. DeMarcus Beasley also will be honored that night. So if you're thinking about seeing Zlatan and DeMarcus Beasley, now we'll see where LA is, because it may not be as important of a game than we might have thought at some point for them playing to get into the playoffs. So we'll see. Now, tomorrow night, the Dynamo on the road at LAFC. We'll take your phone calls on that, 713-780-3776. We'll take your calls on Dynamo and the Orlando City performance. So you got that game on the Cube tomorrow night, and then you have the NWSL. It's a national broadcast. So the Houston Dash and BBVA Stadium are hosting a national broadcast of the NWSL between the Dash and the Washington Spirit tomorrow night. So there's going to be a ton of international players on the field. The Dash are not going to make the playoffs again. So they've never made the playoffs, still trying to do it. They're going into this at 7-11-4, a negative 14 goal differential. The funny thing is they've struggled at home, 3-6-2. They've played well in their last two games against the two best teams in the league, only losing 1-0 to Portland and 1-0 to North Carolina Courage. And they felt they could have got more out of that game, James Clarkson and his team. So they have shown a battling spirit. I think that'll be there tomorrow night. It's a great night to see a lot of World Cup stars. And again, starts 8 Central Time on ESPN. So join us. It's going to be a fun night down there. A couple of players on the Washington Spirit to keep an eye on. Ashley Hatch, Andy Sullivan, of course, Mallory Pugh. Andy Sullivan was getting some run with the national team before an injury kind of sidelined her, played at Stanford. And then Mallory Pugh, we all know her from the U.S. Women's National Team, the World Cup winning team. And, of course, the Houston Dash have the wonderful Rachel Daly, who's been called up to the England national team again under Phil Neville, Sofia Huerta, Jane Campbell in goal, Amber Brooks, a lot of talented players on that team as well. Later on tonight, Jason Longshore, who's an analyst for Atlanta United, he's going to talk about the Joseph Martinez injury, kind of what the feeling is down there, where the nervousness meter is in Atlanta United, because listen, you lose the general down there. You lose your leader. You lose your talisman. That can be a real problem for the playoffs. Now, the good news is they can rest him. He does have some recovery time. But we'll talk to him about that, and we'll find out about this whole injury to the ankle and things like that. Frank DeBoer saying it might not be as bad as feared, but you never know. Now, what would happen to Atlanta United if he's Ezekiel Barco, Brandon Vasquez likely would be a guy who gets a start at center forward. So can he recover? Well, if anybody can, I think Joseph Martinez can. Jurgen Klopp, by the way, at the FIFA Football Awards publicly, I mean, this is a great moment, joined the pledge to be a part of the common goal, that thing that was started by Juan Mata, that players donate 1% of their salaries. He's going to do that. He announced it while there, which I thought was pretty cool deal from him to come out and basically say that. So, FIFA awards. Listen, there's so many awards going on right now. So we've had the UEFA ones, the FIFA Men's Player of the Year, Lionel Messi. I want to see if you agree with these. Women's Player, Megan Rapinoe. Men's Coach, Jurgen Klopp. Women's Coach, Jill Ellis. No question. Men's goalkeeper, Alisson. Women's goalkeeper, Sari van Veenendaal of the Netherlands. You remember her from the World Cup. Fair Play Award, Marcelo Bielsa. Fan Award, Sylvia Greco. And the Puskas Award to Daniel Sori. The World 11, which I think is a bit of a joke here. I don't know how Marcelo and Sergio Ramos get in this team in this year. They're great players, granted. So it was Alisson. Matthias De Ligt, Marcelo, Sergio Ramos, Virgil van Dijk, Frankie de Jong, Eden Hazard, Luka Modric, Cristiano Ronaldo, Kylian Mbappe, and Lionel Messi. 713-780-3776. Comment on it. 713-780-3776 is the number to comment. Women's World 11, Sari van Veenendaal in goal. Lucy Bronze, Nyla Fisher, Kelly O'Hara from the U.S., Wendy Renard, Julie Ertz, Amandine Henry, Rose Lavelle. Rose Lavelle will be coming back from those awards, and hopefully we're going to see her tomorrow down at BBVA Stadium. I mean, what a tournament she had, and what a player she is, and represents in a very different way, because not a big, muscly, powerful-looking athlete, just one that is just so slick technically. I love when those athletes that don't fit the stereotype of the look are successful, especially in soccer. And you see a little bit more of it there. Marta, Alex Morgan, and Megan Rapinoe. So we'll take your thoughts, 713-780-3776, on those choices. Victor Ariza has just slipped me a piece of paper. Announced today the UEFA Champions League final in 2021 will be in St. Petersburg, Russia. 2022, it's back to the Allianz Arena in Munich, Germany. 2023 at Wembley, and 2020 in Istanbul at the Olympic Stadium. So there's your UEFA Champions League finals. Another thing of real interest is that TUDN.com is reporting that Andreas Guardado comes to MLS in 2020. MLS is negotiating with Real Betis. Could that be Andreas Guardado to H-Town? Chicago Fire are first in line, and they're looking to move to Soldier Field, so that's a move that makes sense, and their past history has Cuauhtemoc Blanco, so it's a lot of things there repeating the past that could be good. So Andreas Guardado, if you were going to pick a Mexican League player to come to Houston, who would it be? 713-780-3776, or who would a high-profile name that you would like to see in Houston? 713-780-3776. Our three DPs are Tomas Martinez, Albert Elias, and Mauro Manotas. Those are our three here in Houston. And again, we have Albert Elias on at the top of the hour. We're going to talk to him about really getting deep down. We want to start really talking nuts and bolts and how the Dynamo are going to turn it around and why, you know, we have this downward spiral at the same time every year. It's great to talk about how we broke out of the blocks, but as we all know, in MLS, it's how you finish. It's not how you start. It was a great start, but it's how you finish. And honestly, it's rough if you don't make the playoffs in this league. 14 out of 24 make it. You got to be one of those. Got to be one of them. I don't think any question. 713-780-3776. So back to the Dynamo. So they had a really rough week trying to play this game against Orlando because of Imelda and the struggles. Six-minute Dom Dwyer. The Dynamo are not looking good in this game. A lot of unforced errors, and it looks like a team that's had all this other stuff going on, no question. But then the second half, they put it in overdrive. Albert Elias after a wonderful buildup, a header. We'll talk to him about that goal when he's on in the second hour. But there was a wonderful buildup. Rodriguez, Ramirez to Elise, who, as we all know, is a great attacker of crosses, can get in the box and turn into a center forward. 73rd minute, then Christian Ramirez would get his third goal as a Dynamo. A wonderful buildup. Memo had a wonderful turn in one of these goals. That was just a thing of beauty. Now, by the way, Memo Rodriguez, for me, brought great energy off the bench. Great energy. Involved in the buildup of the game. But Memo's role now is as a sub. That's where he plays his best. That's where he contributes his best in the latter stages of games. So he's one of these guys that I think that once the edge is taken off the game physically, his skill set emerges and is more visible. But he did pick the Dynamo up, no question. But I think that's his role in the future. I know, you know, every player wants to be a 90-minute player, but this is where he has been most successful for me. And this would go along with obviously getting spot starts throughout the year. Joe Willis timely saves as well. Better passing of the ball in the second half. So we'll take your thoughts on Dynamo, 713-780-3776 as well. Let's go to the phone line and Mark. Mark, what do you have to say?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing?
Very good. What's up, Mark?
So you were talking about what Mexican national team players should come to the MLS, or who I like to see the Dynamo go after, I guess.
Yes.
To be honest, you know, if I had to pick one that would be a realistic chance for them to come over here, it would probably be somebody like a Hector Herrera, even though I know he's doing okay at Atlético Madrid right now. But, you know, he's on that cusp, like, that 28, 29, 30 age. I think, you know, would be a good move for him to come over here. And then he's that box-to-box midfielder, you know, that number eight or whatever. And he can attack and join in on an attack as well as defend.
That's a good shout. I like that. I think he scored in recent weeks. Victor Ariza is shaking his head. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want to see Hector Herrera. He wants to see Chicharito. You know, he wants a bigger name, attacking player. But I think Hector would put some bodies in the stands, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, of course, everybody wants to see the goal scorers. You know, they want to see the Chicharitos, the Velas and stuff like that.
Yeah, but hold on, Mark, hold on. Don't we need a DP to be an attacking player, a guy that can win you a game off a moment of brilliance? I mean, look who's leading the league in scoring. It's Vela, Zlatan, it's Josef Martinez. They're DPs. They're guys that can win you a game. They're goal scorers. You want to go after a box-to-box midfielder?
No, I mean, if I had to choose a Mexican player, we're talking about international players, I think somebody who came up on the rumor mill recently, like David Silva, that's somebody who I would pay for, because he would create so many chances for Mauro and for Ramirez and for whoever else, and he would justify whatever the amount is that he gets paid to come over here.
Gotcha. Hey, I like your thinking. You're making some sensible choices here. You're probably saying, hey, maybe we can't get Chicharito. Maybe we can't get one of those caliber of attacking players, and a Hector Herrera would be a good fit. But it's a good shout. Who else has got some good shouts? Mark is right in there. Good stuff, Mark. Thank you very much for that phone call. 713-780-3776. Somebody follow up, Mark, with who would you like to see as a DP for the Houston Dynamo? I mean, this is a topic we could bring up every show because everybody seems to keep talking about that. My concern is also, how is this team going to find a way to produce during the summer months? This is a very cool song. Someone Great. That's who we want as a DP. That's the name of the song. Someone Great. LCD Sound System. Hey, John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm. Sponsors of this show. We thank John and the Daspit Law Firm's DaspitLaw.com. They're also sponsors of our show in Austin, DaspitLawAustin.com. But look, the people spend big money on goal scorers, and they're producing. They're winning people games. And they do it regularly. They do it consistently. It's not hit or miss. So these are the choices clubs have to make. I could listen to this song all day. I don't know what it is about this. The hook's in this thing, I guess. Yeah? Andrew Carlson? All right. We're going to take a break here. We got more to come. Got a great second hour. A bunch of good interviews tonight. Allie Wagner. We've got Rachel Daly. Absolutely love her. She says, we can't make the NWSL just about birthday parties when it comes to the fans we're trying to attract. She wants to attract more hardcore soccer fans. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more and a special guest, a great friend of mine doing great things, Eileen Dowd, will join the show when we come back.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
You know, I get caught up in the music so much. I'm a music man. Can't play an instrument, I collect. That's all I can do, and go to concerts. I'm a music man. When I hear Run DMC, it's one of the greatest. Rap and heavy metal mixed and rock and roll. These guys were great. I'm from Run DMC. You're from Kool & the Gang, Andrew Carlson.
If you say so, Glenn.
No, nothing against Kool & the Gang. Yeah, they're cool. Speaking of cool, a great friend of mine, Eileen Dowd. She's a cancer survivor. She works at a preschool, St. Thomas Episcopal. The last 2 years, she has come up with this on her own. It's a fundraiser called Kick Pediatric Cancer. She's had 100% participation from her six classes, along with the Houston Soccer Club, Soccer Centro, who donated 20 balls. So what she's done is she has 85 soccer balls collected and 1,500 in donations. She also, you've heard me talk about her on the show before, Eileen Dowd, going down to the hospital with me and talking to cancer patients because she was treated at Texas Children's Hospital. And we go down there and hand the soccer balls out. The one and only. And what a wonderful human being she is. Eileen Dowd joins us now. Eileen, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, let's spend a couple of quick minutes. We got 2 minutes here, so we got to fire through this because I got to bring Allie Wagner around. Just tell us about the work and what this has meant to you, because I know from the beginnings, this was not an easy thing for you to get into.
No, absolutely not. I think going through treatment and losing friends, it's hard to come back from. But Glenn, you've done a great job at getting me back out. And so this actually was started. My director, Amy Savage, came to me and asked if we had anything that we're passionate about and wanted to get our classes involved in. And I brought this up to her, and she's done an amazing job with allowing me to share my story and get all of our parents involved. And we've had nothing but great responses, which is awesome because, I mean, the advocating for these kids, it all starts with us, and we've been able to do such a great job at getting our parents involved and in the community. So it's amazing having balls mailed to me that complete strangers are finding out what we're doing and they're wanting to get involved. So it's just awesome.
I am so proud of you. And I mean, it's just like this is the best part of this show tonight, honestly, because I've just seen you blossom so wonderfully. You help with the Kick Cancer Camps. You're down there talking to patients. And when I watch you talk to patients, there's no one. The athletes, no one can have an impact on cancer patients like someone who's beaten it. Because when you say you've beaten it, the eyes light up, and you've just become so wonderful at working with these patients.
Well, it's a passion. I'm very appreciative to be here and to be able to do these things.
Well, Eileen, listen, before I let you go, $1,500, I know you're going to get it to the Texas Children's Hospital. You and I got to get back down there real soon, okay? Maybe next week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, remember this name, Eileen Dowd. Eileen, you're the best. Thank you so much for coming on tonight, and you're our superstar, no doubt.
Thanks, Ben.
All right, so we're excited. We have the call of the game tomorrow night, the Houston-Washington Spirit. By the way, this is BBVA Stadium in Houston. If you have an opportunity, get out. If not, you can catch it on ESPN. And Allie, of course, this is a game where the Houston Dash have already been eliminated. The Washington Spirit, though, still have an opportunity here. It's a game that is full of players that were in the World Cup and represented their countries.
I think it's going to be a good one just because in talking to both the staff, they have very different goals, right? From Houston, they want to be spoiler to the party. They want to finish as high as they can. And I think over the last few weeks, well, actually their last three games, they've shifted into a different tactical setup, and it's working for the personnel that they have now. I mean, who knows if that's what they would employ next year if they can pick up some new pieces, but I think right now they've built some confidence off of those shifts and what they're or how they're going about managing the game. And for Washington, I mean, they think if they can pick up three wins and a tie over their next run of games that they have a really good chance to get in. So I think it's going to be a fun one, and I do like a lot of the bright young talent that Washington has. So I think on that level it's going to be exciting because they're going to have to play a bit open and go for it. So I expect goals.
So the Houston Dash, let's just talk about them because they have gotten more defensive. There's no question. They're playing out of a lower block. There's pros and cons to that. The pros is they've played the two best teams in the league and only lost 1-0 and felt they could have got something out of those games. Do you think that's the way they remain tomorrow night based on the fact they've been eliminated from the playoffs, or do you think they might open up a little bit more and get Rachel Daly a little bit higher up the field?
You know, I think it's interesting because I don't think, from what you saw with this team, I don't think they have the personnel to play in an open-style game. I just don't. I think at the center back, they lack some pace back there and personality and a little bit in front of them, right? So that shield in front of the back four, everything was way too stretched when they played open and they tried to press teams higher on the field and tried to impose their style and get more expansive. So I think they were too vulnerable when they did that. So I just don't think they have the personnel to do it. But here's where I think it gets interesting, and that is that Washington's a team that struggles to play out of the back at times, where they really, really, that's their MO, that's the style that they, you know, believe in, and it's a beautiful thing when it works, but they still have young players, and at times they make poor decisions, or it's just actual technical breakdowns. So they've gifted opportunities to plenty of teams throughout the league just by virtue of, you know, sticking to that, the idea that they're going to play out of the back regardless of the situation. So I think it's going to be interesting, and that was one of my questions, you know, how much do you actually look to press higher up on the field, win the ball higher, and then spring daily? It'll be interesting to see how much they play with that tomorrow. I don't know if this team, only three games into playing in a 4-1-4-1 type of set, if they're really capable of flexing in and out of different pressure points yet. It'll be interesting. So why not, like you said, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that all works, because there is a real temptation there to maybe high press with the likes of Rachel Daly, who can be an absolute pest, and Kalia Ohai.
Yeah, exactly.
Ohai.
And, you know, but that's one of the things that I think they can use to their advantage is her work rate to double back and close down. She's so quick when she decides that she's going to pressure, you know, double back. I think that she can catch Washington in those moments at times if everyone's tied in. So I'm curious to see if it's more of her doubling back as opposed to, you know, pressing up higher.
All right, let's talk about two coaches, Richie Burke of the Washington Spirit, of course, James Clarkson, who I know very well with the Houston Dash. Two English coaches, kind of new to the NWSL game. How do you think they've done? They've obviously had some moments where, you know, it's got to have a learning curve for these two men as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting, right? Because sometimes the greatest evaluation of how successful you're being as a coach is kind of what the players say about you or what they don't say about you when we get to speak to them. And I think with Houston, there's a real sense that they are liking the way that they're the changes that were made this year. A coach that is more detail-oriented and is trying to take them to the next level, I think, in a structure system that they just didn't have before. So I think the players are a bit happy with the shift here in Houston. You know, results-wise, obviously, that didn't work to their advantage. One of the things he talked about was not having U.S. players, and that's been a big disadvantage for them. But then they weren't able to put together that run of results when, you know, most of the U.S. players were away at the World Cup. So that wasn't, I think, the greatest testament to what they've been able to achieve. I do think a year is a very short time to get results in this league and make that adjustment, especially for, you know, coaches that haven't coached women like you have in Washington. With James. And then in Washington, you know, I thought that was interesting when we talked to him, Richie Burke, about how Paul Riley is one of, you know, in a way his mentor, someone that's been kind of guiding him through this assimilation process in NWSL. I think he's done well, is not as good as can be expected, but I think he's done a nice job of being very clear with the style he wants his team to play. He has so many young, talented players. And one of the things that I picked up on and when we spoke to him, Glenn, the other day, was that one of his philosophies is to bring in young players and develop them. And he wants to continue to give those players time to kind of reach their potential. Of course, you can't sacrifice results for too long because then you'll get nicked. But I do think that everything that he's trying to employ is right. Now, you know, if they shift some of their – I think they're a bit open defensively, but that's a whole other story. So they'll learn that with time. You know, if this is a team that can impose their will offensively, then they just need to figure out how to shore things up defensively.
All right. To that point, he did speak about Mallory Pugh, too, and we all know how talented she is. Where do we see her begin to, you know, look, she's only 21 years old, but where do we begin to see her sort of blossom and maybe take games over a little bit more with a very, very different role in Washington as opposed to the national team?
You know, she's one of those players that I am actually shocked that she hasn't developed as much over the last 2 years. I think this is going to be, it is a situation where she has to figure out if she wants it. And she has to figure out what that means. You know, is she going to put in the extra work outside of training to get to that next level? Because she has all the talent in the world. So many players would drool to have the assets that she has. So I think a lot of it's going to be incumbent upon her development and taking the responsibility to take her game to the next level. I mean, this is a player that if her movement is even more active, just you know, four high-paced runs in a half, if she adds some of those elements, she's going to get on the ball. She can create separation. I think she's a player that would really do well with watching more football and watching what works for players that are really similar to her style. One of those players, you know, that she's got to figure out how she can create space for herself, right? That's when she's at her best, when she can get into the open field. And so I think she's got to kind of look at those elements of having a better tactical understanding of where to be, when, and then of course you're going to see her blossom, I think, once she kind of makes those decisions quicker and more consistently.
We're talking to Allie Wagner, played at Santa Clara, former U.S. Women's National Team member. I'm fortunate to be on the call with her tomorrow night here in Houston, so we're going to have a good time calling this game. I want to take you to Jane Campbell now for the Houston side of things. You know, obviously on the fringe of the national team, she has literally earned points for the Houston Dash this year. Where do you see her national team picture and projection?
You know, she's one of those goalkeepers that I don't know. I really don't have an answer to, because so many of them peak later in their careers. You know, I talked about this last week, I believe, where it was a hope similar to a Hope Solo situation, and that Jane Campbell's incredibly athletic. You know, she's got the springiness, she's got the burst, she's got the reach. You know, now it's about game awareness and game sense coming off that line. Hope Solo struggled with that, even back when she was an alternate in 2004 Olympics. That was one of the main reasons that she didn't make that squad, was because there were just too many unforced errors and there wasn't consistency in her game time. And then look what happens to Hope. She goes on to be, you know, the best goalkeeper in the world. So I with Jane Campbell, I think she has the potential. I'm not saying she's the next Hope Solo. Don't get me wrong there. I don't want to overreach on that, but I think that she has it in her game to get to that next level and to be the number one for the U.S. team, but she really has to become a more consistent goalkeeper with her decision-making.
Well, as any good play-by-play man, you got to make sure your analyst is rested and their voice is rested. So we are going to end this interview now, and I want to thank you very much for coming on the show tonight, giving us a nice preview, and our listeners here a nice preview for the Washington Spirit Houston Dash game tomorrow. It's on ESPN. And you can hear the stylings and the game breakdown of Allie Wagner on that game. Allie, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks, Glenn. Looking forward to it tomorrow. See you tomorrow, buddy.
You got it. That's Allie Wagner. Really enjoy listening to her break a game down, and also enjoy working with her, and I get the privilege to do that tomorrow night. So that'll do it for hour number one. Stay with us. Hour number two is going to be a good one. We've got Albert Elise to kick it off. La Pantherita will join me. We get deep down on what's going on with the Houston Dynamo.
When the walls are closing in, call it what you like.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than two decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.